Today will be in Acts 11. That is Acts 11, 26. And the title of this sermon is called Disciple or Christian. Is there a difference? That is, disciple or Christian, is there a difference? And I post the title and all the scriptures, and time permitted, we'll try to go through, may not be able to go through all the scriptures because it's a lot about discipleship. In Acts 11, 26 says this, "And when he found him, he brought unto him unto Antioch. It came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." As you guys bow with me, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come today in your presence, thanking you for this opportunity, Lord, to give the message that you laid on my heart this week to speak on, God. I pray that the Holy Spirit just pours out of me. I pray the message enters the hearts of those who are listening, and it changes. It motivates to look inward and to look at their lives, to reflect, am I truly a disciple for Jesus, or I'm just giving lip service? God, I pray we examine our hearts today. God, I pray over our prayer list, we pray those that are feeling the sting of our economy. We pray over those mentioned by name and the unspokens in our hearts. Lord, we pray over Dole and his family as they deal with this loss, God, that you give them strength just to heal and move on. God, I pray over our nation. God, you know what's going on, the anti-God movements in our nation, how they don't value human life. A baby in the womb is still it's a baby. It's a life. And all life matters, God. Well, I pray over our schools and our education systems, God, that they turn from teaching these false doctrines like evolution, and that they start focusing on creation. That there's a God that created this world in 6 days. And that's fundamental, and that's the truth. The same God who created us in our mother's womb, he knew us before we were ever there, before conception. Oh, how we should value that life. It's a life. God, we pray that our nation wakes up before it's too late, before your hand is removed and America is no more. God, I pray once again that you just be with us as we go through these scriptures and this message, that you guide and you direct what you need me to say. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, here in Acts 11, 26, you have Paul. And you have Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas, and they are in Antioch at this point. And we hear the word Christians first time it appears in the Bible. Well, King James Version. And I checked other versions, it's there. But it said the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So these disciples, and a disciple is a follower of Jesus. Up to this point, they were known as disciples, not Christians. If you look at the occurrence of the word Christian, or the plural form of that word Christians, you will only see in most translations, it only occurs about three times. Second time is in Acts 26, 28, said, "Then Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou pursue me to be a Christian." And then 1 Peter 4, 16 said, "Yet if any man suffers as a Christian," and man can be woman there, man and woman, kind of how the Greek is set up there, "and let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on the behalf." There are the three times that word is seen in the Bible. Now, but when we look at the word disciple or disciples, the plural form, you will see that it occurs over 200 times. Depending on what translation, it's around 200. So what we know when we're looking at the Bible and we're studying the Word of God, when a word is repeated, the Word of God is trying to communicate a very important message to us. Discipleship is important. Now, the question I'm going to present to you guys today is this. If I ask you today, is there a difference in being a Christian and a disciple? What would you say? If I ask you that question, what would come to mind? Is there a difference? Are they the same? What would come to mind? You know, you wouldn't think this would be a controversial topic, but it is. It is. Kind of blows my mind where the American Christian Church is at today. Why would this be controversial? Remember, a word that is repeated over. Jesus spoke so much on discipleship. Didn't mention one thing about Christianity and Christians. Now, when we look at the contents of our key scripture day, Acts 11:26, most scholars will take this, guys probably a lot smarter than I am, and they will look at it and they will say, in this point, the church was being persecuted. They were being literally beaten and thrown into jail. They were suffering greatly, and those that were enemies of the cross were looking at them and said, "Look at those little Christians. Look at them saying, oh, the death, the burial, and the resurrection." And they're proclaiming the gospel. They won't be just like that guy we crucified. They look at them. We're mocking. It was a derogatory term. And they just kind of took it like, yeah. We want to be like Jesus. But first, we are His disciples. We follow Jesus. And yes, we are Christians too. If you're going to call us that, we'll wear that badge with honor. But we are first disciples. See, being a disciple is a person who responds to the call of Jesus in faith, that is believing in the death, burial, and resurrection, results in a relationship that is driven by the Holy Ghost of God and direct his or her life to grow in Christ. We are supposed to grow in Christ. You may say, no, I don't want nothing to do with that. then you're not His disciple. You're not His. Because being a disciple and being a Christian is the same. There is no difference. People say, oh, well, you don't have to be a disciple. You can just be a Christian. No, it don't work that way. Jesus was very clear in Scripture. Very clear. A disciple is a person who has responded to the call of Jesus in faith. Romans 10, 8 through 11 says this, What saith, the word is near nigh thee, even thy mouth and thy heart, and the word of faith which we preach. Oh, that if I confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that shall be saved. And that's true. For the heart of man believe unto righteousness, right? And with the mouth confess is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. All this passage is true, although it's misused. Oh, you know, we said, in thy mouth, in thy heart, oh, your heart is what God wants. Your heart is what He wants. See, when your heart is into it, when you're into Jesus, you have that passion, you have that fire, you can't get enough of Him. Oh, you just don't leave these doors and live like there ain't no change. Your heart should be aflamed. You confess in your mouth, right? He rose from the dead. Righteousness, verse 10, for the heart man believe unto righteousness. God calls us to walk a path. When we're confronted with a holy God, oh, our hearts should be humbled. He is righteous. He's holy. We are not. Oh, when we're in His presence. Oh, when we sin against God, our hearts should be broken. Oh, how the church wants to accept their sin. Oh, the dirty grace that runs from these churches today. Oh, they proclaim this dirty grace and the mega churches are packed. Oh, the license of sin. I can keep doing whatever I want and still be saved. No, we cannot. Oh, I can still do everything I want and still go to heaven. No, you will not. Oh, I will not sit up here and lie to you. There are many that will. I love you too much. I love you too much. We serve a holy God. He can't look. He can't tolerate your sin. 2 Corinthians 15, 3-4 said, for I deliver unto you first all which I have received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried and He rose again that third day according to the Scripture. The death on that cross, He died for us, for our sins. All the Lamb of God, blameless, sinless. Jesus had no sin, regardless how they're trying to out there and tell you He did. Our Jesus had no sin. He was the Lamb of God that take away the sins of the world. We come to Him recognizing that, acknowledging that. When we take that, we commit our lives to Him. Oh, it's a commitment. It's not a one-time event. They'll tell you. Every head bow, say this prayer. Show me where Jesus does that in the Bible. All of you are saved. Now, oh, if you go deep down and you look at all the popular preachers that said, bow your head and say this little prayer. Oh, you're saved now. Not saying people won't get saved. I'm just saying Jesus never encouraged that. Never encouraged that. He encouraged commitment. Commitment. Right? I am committing my life to you, and I am going to give you all I have. Commitment. Ephesians 1:21 said, "For me to live is Christ. To die is His gain." It's intense, right? Our lives are no longer our lives. It's all Jesus. He is in control. I don't live for myself no more when I come to Him. Yes, for by grace we are saved through faith. I get that. And not of ourselves, right? It is a gift of God. That is true. Not of works, lest we should boast as a gift. But we want to leave out verse 10 where he said, "For we are created in Christ Jesus to good works, which He had before ordained that we should walk in," right? Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why? Because the power of God until salvation for everyone that believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek. Oh, our lives, yes, we're saved by the grace of God, but that doesn't end there. There is works involved. Everyone that commit their lives and believe in the death, burial, and resurrection, don't stop there. You are now His and you are given works. Oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do works. I want to be quiet. Okay, you're not His disciple, then you're truly never His. We are given opportunities all around us to tell somebody about Jesus. You don't have to invite them to church. You can tell them right where you're at about Jesus. You can spell the gospel right there to them. Oh, you can. And we're supposed to. Are you equipped to? Can you tell somebody about salvation? It's a good thought. Can you sit there and tell? I could say, "Hey, let's have a training session. I'll just pick somebody." I ain't gonna do that to you. If you were coming and confronting me on the streets, tell me about Jesus. How would you tell me about Jesus? See, churches are missing that. We are supposed to expound the gospel on the spot. Tell them that person where they're at about what Jesus has done in our lives. Reach them. They don't have to come to church. I encourage them to. Oh, that's how we grow. The man of God's up here preaching, teaching, and you're growing that way. That's how you grow in Christ. Oh, we should be teaching our congregation how to expound the gospel, how to understand the scriptures, how to be equipped to go out. Oh, we are supposed to do that. Our life is no longer our life. You know, Jesus was a straight shooter. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, you need to recognize it. If you don't want, it's really this simple. You can keep playing around with that term Christianity, Christian being a Christian. You can buy in that. You can go down the street and probably find a preacher that's going to fill you with lies. But I'm going to tell you, the closest heaven you will enjoy is right here. The closest heaven. Because if you don't want to be His disciple, you're not His. And you truly are not a Christian. Luke 14:26 says, "If a man came to me and he hates not his father and mother and wife and children and brother and sister, yea, his own life, he cannot be my disciple." That's Luke 14:26. And I'll look at several translations on the word hate here. Most translations, look up 20, still uses the word hate. Looked at the Greek, several Greek translations still used interpretation hate. So when we're looking at that word hate, what is Jesus saying here about hate? Well, what we do is we take our emotions and we try to put it to Scripture. He's not saying a human hate like we have. You may get mad at your, if you're a child, mad at your mom and dad, and you go to your room and you shut the door and say, I hate you. Right? I've been there when I was a kid. You could be in the throes of emotional spout with your significant other and say, I hate you now. I don't want nothing to do. Leave me alone. Go to my room. We take that emotional. Is that what Jesus is saying here? No. Simply put, hate is commitment. Commitment. It's one way to look at it. Committing yourself is more commitment than emotion. Commitment can follow emotions, but first it's about commitment. He is not saying do not disrespect your parents. No, because that would counter the Scripture. We are supposed to love and honor our mom and dad. And we are supposed to honor and love one another. That's what he's saying is a commitment. Where is your heart for me? When you get home from work, where is your heart at? Do you let others distract you from doing that personal time that you're supposed to be with Jesus? Are you praying? Are you having that personal time praying and seeking His face? Oh, prayer is important. It's critical. We should yearn for that communication with Jesus daily. Are we? How's your prayer life? I don't know how your prayer life is. Jesus sure does. I don't want to pray. Well, you have that option. You don't pray. You don't want that time. You're not His. He gives you that. Don't think when you pass to the next life that He'll say, oh, you know, I understood. I got it. No. Depart me, you worker of iniquity. You profess my name in your mouth, but your heart was so far from me. Oh, now you will suffer that punishment. You didn't heed the words of a man up here that I placed that fire in his heart to tell you the truth. Oh, you choose to go somewhere else and listen to that preacher. Oh, I can tell you, there's preachers today and pastors will look at this mess and they will look at me and they will dog me. But that's all right, because we're living in a time where lukewarm preaching is the norm. Oh, how the heart and the fire should be aflame for Jesus. Oh, how our prayer life should be on flame for Jesus. Oh, studying the Word of God should be a priority in our life. Is it a priority in your life? Oh, I'm going to find somebody else. I'll tell you, those are hearing the sound of my voice. You can. You can. But when you meet Jesus, and you will, one way or the other, He will look at you. And at that time, there is no, oh, I'll get it right next time, God. Let me go back down. No, I gave you every opportunity to come to me. This man up here proclaiming the gospel, the truth about it. You reject me. Oh, you reject me. Now I reject you. I honor your choice. Oh, with tears in your eyes, as the demons come and pull your soul to a place of damnation, fire and burning for the rest of your life, eternally, all hell does exist, and it will grab you, and it will grab you to the point that you wish to God you heed the warnings of this man here. Our life, our commitment, I believe, is to commit. You see, when we have the Holy Spirit in our hearts truly as a disciple. We can grieve that Holy Spirit. Hebrews 12, 5 through 11 says this. And I don't sugarcoat it. I go straight from the King James Version. I know many pastors, they don't want our preachers or evangelists. They clean this language up by, I don't believe in cleaning it up. Jesus is real. Hebrews 12, verse 5 says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thy chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." When you're rebuked. Yeah, Jesus rebuked. "For whom the Lord loved, he chastens, he scourges every son and daughter," that can be son and daughter, "whom he receives. If ye endure the chastening, God deals with you as with sons," or daughters there, "with son, daughters, whom the Father chastens not. But if ye be without chastisement, thereof all partakers." All partakers are his. "Then ye are bastards." You're a bastard. "And not sons or daughters. Furthermore, ye have fathers of your flesh which corrects us, and we give them reverence. So shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? When they vary for a few days, chasten us after their own pleasure, but he are for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastens for the present seem to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yielded peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." You see, when the Holy Spirit is in you, it chastens, it scourges. When we sin against God, I know sin is not popular. Most churches don't even want to talk about it. When we sin against God, we grieve the Holy Spirit, and that chasten occurs. That scourging occurs. It should lead us to repentance, because the intensity of it. And he does that not because he's trying to be mean, because we left to our own devices, we will fail him every time. He leads the Holy Spirit in our life to guide us and direct us and to push us to what? To be his followers. To be his to be that disciple that he needs us to be. Oh, if we don't go through that process, we cannot be his disciple. Oh, that yearning in our body. Oh, to seek him, the Holy Spirit, the comfort that gives us strength to endure that chastens, that scourging, that we're all on our knees and beg, "Lord, forgive me. Here I am again, God. Here I am. You know I'm flesh. You know my heart hurts. Sin should grieve us." Well, where is the grief of our sin in today's churches? Oh, that license, that dirty grace. They'll say, "Where is your love? Why aren't you preaching love?" This is love. This is love. He says, he's here in Scripture, "For whom the Lord loved." Love. He chastens. That's godly love. He chastens you. He rebukes you. He corrects you. That is love. Oh, not how the distorted version of love today is. No. The true love of God hits you where it hurts. When you sin against Him, He cracks you. Oh, I don't want to be corrected. I want to keep doing what I want to do. Okay, you're left to your own devices. Oh, America, America wants to do what they want. They want to keep doing all this stuff. Oh, how they want to take our abortion and just make abortion on demand, and how our tax dollars are going to that. Oh, that should grieve our hearts. That should rip our hearts out. Right? The unborn child. It don't have a right. It has rights. It makes me sick when I look at it. It should make us sick. When we look at Luke 14, 26, that last verse there, the last part of that, it said, hate your own life. Hate your own life. If you are going to be a disciple of Jesus, you have to hate your own life. This life does not matter unless Jesus is the center of it. Everything I do, oh Lord, I want You to radiate me. I want the power source to reach out to those around me. Oh, I want Your power in me, God, to reach those around me. My life does not matter. You think when they were being called Christians in Acts, that beginning scripture, you think they were caring what people thought of them? No. They were proclaiming the gospel, if you just follow the church in Acts, and how they were on fire. And He is adding. Why do you think He was adding to the church daily? Because our lives, the lives were radiating. Where we were at in the workplace, they seen that. Oh, where they were at and wherever they were at, that they could see that change. Oh, they can't see a change in us today. Oh, we look just like the world. Why would they want our Jesus? Why would they? You want to be His disciple? Revelations 12:11 says this, and they overcome Him by the blood of their Lamb and by the word of their testimony, that they love not their lives to death. That's coming. That's in Revelations. See, Jesus has to be a priority in our life. Now, I could keep on going on here. I encourage you guys to look at Luke 14 and just that whole you can start at Luke 26 and work your way down and finish that. That whole section is just, He talks about bearing the cross and coming after Him, and you cannot be My disciple unless you're bearing that cross, man. You see, the cross was a public shame, a torment, an execution for both slaves and criminals. Our Jesus, right? He was just seen as a criminal. No, He did nothing wrong except love us more than we could ever imagine. Today, as we close out this message, I want to ask you today, have you truly, truly accept Jesus into your heart? And you have recognized that being a disciple and a Christian, there is no difference. That is the answer to the question. Christian or disciple? Is there a difference? That is the title. And today, if you don't get anything out of this message, recognize, and you don't have to take my word for it. You can go to the Bible. You will not hear many preachers today to say this. It's just, I'll listen to sermons all through the week, like tons of them, because I just inundate my, and yes, I work a regular job too, 40 hours a week, and I still make time for Jesus. It can be done. And it's like, oh man, you're asking for way too much. No. I ain't one of those preachers that ask people to do stuff that I don't do. I don't believe that. But I encourage you to go to the Scriptures and look at the word Christian and Christians. Look in your Bible. You know, we have the internet. You can Google all you want. You can look at different translations. You can get down there. You can look at the word disciple, and it's over 200 times. And look at every passage that is used in the Bible. Write it down. Look at it. Study it. Come to your own conclusion. I guarantee you, when you do that, whatever man is up here saying anything, they say it counter. See, we are supposed to be studying the Word of God. We are supposed to be looking at Scriptures, because we're listening to everything that man's up here saying. I'm telling you, there's many men in the pulpit today, even in this area, that should not be in the pulpit because they are not studying the Word of God. They are hoping you don't study the Word of God, because then you will realize they are false and they don't want that. So they're like, good, they're not studying the Word of God, I'm going to tell you anything I say up here. You test it, you weigh it with the Scripture of God. And you'll not hear many preachers out there say that, because why? They're hoping you're not, because you're not. They don't want you to weigh what we're saying up here, because then they'll realize their congregation is about to shrink down, or they have to make a decision. Oh, you know what? I don't care what the Word of God says. I like that man better. Then they made their decision. They rather follow a man. They rather follow Satan than Jesus. They are a disciple of Satan than a disciple of Jesus. And they will have their reward. They will. Being a Christian and disciple, they go together. There is no difference. Get that. If you do not want to be a disciple, you're saying, I ain't going to have nothing to do with this, and I really go to, you know, go see another church, because this guy's just a little bit easy on the ears, and he don't preach on this all this stuff. Okay, you make your decision, but I guarantee you, when this man is dead, when I close my eyes for the last time, I will be in heaven with Jesus. I will not have to worry about anything else anymore. I will be in praising Him and honoring Him, and I'll be connected to Him, and I'll be just so happy. Guess what? You get the counter. When I'm in heaven, I will not be worrying about you anymore. I won't be praying anymore. When you're in hell, you're going to pray as much as you want. It ain't going to happen. Oh God, deliver me from this torture. Oh, deliver me. Oh, my body's on fire forever. Oh, I wish I listened to this man. Oh, it's too late. The demons are ripping me in shreds. They're tearing me apart. Oh, they're dining on my flesh. Oh, I wish I listened to him. Oh, he's extreme. This is extreme. I wish I listened to him. It's over with. It ain't no game. People ain't realizing this is no game. The churches out there that don't want to heed these messages, no game. I can guarantee you there's more people going to hell that will go to heaven because they do not want to accept the truth. They don't want to know about their sin. They don't want to know. They want a life different than what the Bible says, and they're going to slap Christianity on it. I want to tell you that Christianity will send you straight to hell, because it's not the Christianity of the Bible. The Christianity of the Bible is discipleship. It is giving your life to Jesus and then walking in that light. No, I don't want to walk in that light. I want to look just like this world. I want to act like this world. I want to conform to this world. I'll tell you, you're in that mindset. You're not His. You're not. We are supposed to be a light source. Where's your light at? In your workplace. Are you a light source? Are you shining for Jesus? Oh, in your schools. Are you shining for Jesus? Oh, are you on fire for Jesus? Oh, is the The Holy Spirit's been pouring out in you. All our schools, our circle of schools, and some of our Christian academies, oh, how they are not true. That the circular academies and the Christian universities, and they are turning from God. They're not proclaiming. Oh, we need to get back to God. From our schools to our business to on the streets. When we're at Walmart, oh, how we need to be reaching those around us with the gospel. They will know there's something different. I promise you, because it happens to me. I was in Walmart one time, and a guy walks up and said, "There's something about you. There's a glow about you." Well, I found out he's a brother, and he's visiting. He said, "There's a Holy Spirit burning in your heart." They will know the difference. They will see the difference. Is our differences out there? No. We do not want to proclaim anything. We want to live a life of silence. Oh, how we profess something we know nothing about. And today, I want to encourage you and recognize, look in your heart, accept it, deny it. That's on you. Are you truly going to accept being a disciple for Jesus? Or are you choosing not to? As we stand and have a verse or two of invitation, I want to encourage. There is no difference in disciple and Christianity, true Christianity.
Page 123.